Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 20. Hi, everybody. This is your friend and mine, Martin Zender, and I'm here to push you, prod you, pry you, push you. Well, if I don't do it, who else is going to? Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of people who would push you and pry you, and because a lot of people think you're crazy. Did you know that? A newsflash. A lot of people think you're nuts for believing the way you do. But hang in there. They think I'm nuts, too. You know what? I don't care. Oh, yes, I do. It still smarts when people think you're crazy. But don't worry, because what you believe today is going to be real popular someday. That's right. Oh, man. We're just ahead of our time. That's our problem. We're way ahead of the curve here. Most people are stuck in the dark ages, worrying about what time to get to church, the Christmas pageant, whether they're impressing God or not. I mean, they don't know enough to realize that it's a Jesus Christ faith that gets all this done. God looks at Christ and sees the perfect sacrifice. He doesn't look at you. You're not the perfect sacrifice. Did you know that? You're not the perfect sacrifice. You couldn't have died for your own sin. Which reminds me, Christ wasn't your substitute. Heck no, Christ is not a substitutionary offering. That intimates the horrendous idea that if you could have stood there, then you could have done it too. He just stepped in instead of you. No, he did something that you could not do. A man drowning in a river does not need a man to drown in a river in his place. Here, let me be your substitute. Now I'm drowning in the river. No, that's stupid. He's a rescuer. He rescues the helpless. So some people don't realize that, but that's okay. It just hurts when the people who aren't at first base on this get mad at you like you're some kind of idiot. And God's giving you a college degree. But the smarter you get in God, the stupider you look to your religious friends. And that hurts. It hurts. I'm here to tell you. And I know that a lot of you out there are suffering, because what's the first thing you want to do when you hear this, when you hear good news? Oh, it's Jesus Christ's faith instead of mine. Oh, holy smokes. God is actually going to save everybody he came to save. Jesus is going to save everybody he came to save. God's the Savior of all mankind. Hey, I just heard some amazing news today. God's in charge of the world. And your friends look at you like you're nuts, and you want them to believe it. That's the first thing you want to do, is share this information with them. And they poo-poo you. Doesn't that hurt? Poo-poo. I have a great revelation for you. You're not going to believe this. God's in control. Poo-poo. We have to get to the Christmas pageant. It drives me nuts. But look, your frustration is the same that Paul had with the Jews. Not kidding you there at all. You say, "Are you?" No, I'm not kidding you. It's the same Paul had with the Jews. Now, Paul's a little more sophisticated. He didn't poop. You know, he didn't have the poo-poo thing. He's a little ahead of us in manners, maybe. All right. I want to go to Romans chapter 9 and show you that Paul is in the same boat you are, and we're going to get instruction from this. We're going to get some comfort about how God deals with people, and harder yet, how he does not deal with some people, because it's not his time to deal with some people. Before I get into Romans 9, don't you feel sorry for Leonardo da Vinci? I feel sorry for him by the day, not just because they're using his name for a stupid book and a stupid movie. It's that the poor guy's drawing helicopters. Back in the day when people didn't know enough to get in out of the rain. Drawing helicopters. He was way ahead of his time. Poor guy. And it hurts to be ahead of your time. But I want you to know that someday what you believe is going to be really, really popular. So hang in there. Now, Romans 9. The truth am I telling in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifying together with me in Holy Spirit. I haven't read the word poo-poo yet. What's going on here? Who writes like this today? Nobody. The truth am I telling in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience testifying together with me in Holy Spirit, Well, whatever, that was the style of the day, I guess. Or else this man was a frustrated Shakespeare. That's my new doctrine. The Apostle Paul was a frustrated Shakespeare. The truth am I telling in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience testifying together with me in Holy Spirit that my sorrow is great. And unintermittent, mind you. Unintermittent pain is in my heart. For I myself wish to be anathema from Christ. For my brethren, my relatives according to the flesh, who are Israelites, whose is the sonship and the glory and the covenants and the legislation and the divine service. And don't forget the promises. Whose are the fathers, and out of whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all. God be blessed for the eons. Amen. I don't know if you can tell this, but I often have a problem with the Apostle Paul. I really do. I have a problem with his manner of writing. I think he was a really terrible writer. I think he was drop-dead logically, but I think as far as writing goes, he could have used a few lessons from Strunk and White. You know, E.B. White and William Strunk, the guys who wrote The Elements of Style. He needs some stylistic pointers. I'm sorry, I got my coffee here. That's probably why I'm a little hyped up today. I think Paul needs a lesson in succinctness. Needs to get to the point. Tell us what you mean in 25 words or less, okay? Not 2,500. Anyway, the point of this matter is that Paul, like you, is upset. Hurting. He's not upset. We get upset. He is having enduring unintermittent pain. His conscience is testifying and all that. We just get pissed off, okay? Why can't people see this truth? And you talk to people because it's the first thing you want to do when you get this truth. You want to share it, and people don't get it. Now, Paul had a whole race of people that weren't getting it. His brothers, according to the flesh, and sisters, I suppose, the Jews. How did he deal with it? When you find out how he dealt with it, then you're going to find out how you can deal with it. That's right. I, Martin Zender, am going to take Romans 9, 10, and parts of 11. Almost all of 11. 9, 10, and 11. I'm going to take this and show this to you as a pattern of how God can comfort you today. Because you have the same problem. And Paul was looking back at people who had the same problem he was having, people like Elijah. Elijah thought he was the only one who was believing in that. Elijah was frustrated. And see, Paul is frustrated. Oh, my brothers, according to the flesh, they're not getting it. And now you're frustrated. So you're not alone. Not only are you not alone today, but you're not alone. If you look back in history, you see that the orator Paul also had a problem. You know, one of his problems might be he dictated these letters. He dictated to Tertius. I can just see him pacing back and forth. It seems like if you're writing this thing yourself with your own pen on paper, you're tend to be more precise, you know, because you're doing the work. But if you're dictating and you're pacing back and forth and getting excited and you're just, these words are starting to come out of your mouth, and old Tertius there, that's the name of Paul's secretary, Tertius, his, what do you call it, accountant? No, the guy who writes down what you said. What was he? A scribe. Tertius was a scribe. But you know what? In spite of all everything I've said about Paul, everything he wrote was inspired. Not everything. I mean, his grocery lists and letters to the landlord that why he couldn't pay his rent. Those things weren't inspired. But the letters that he wrote here that we have in this bound volume called the Scriptures, inspired as all get out. That's the Apostle Paul. My friend, he can't hear me right now because he's dead. But he's going to raise again, and I can't wait to see that guy. I love him. Don't get me wrong. I love this Paul. I can't wait to see him. Here's a guy, in spite of his lack of writing skills, he was in love with Christ, and he has the same problem you have. Tomorrow, we're going to get more into the nuts and bolts of these problems, and maybe I'll cut down on the coffee. I only drink one cup a day now, so... No, I have. I've cut down to one cup a day. It's not so bad. I think I can handle 2-3 cups a day, right? Maybe I'm going to up... No. Oh, yeah, I got to cut my consumption here. What am I going to do? Cut down to 1/2 cup a day? I won't even be able to stand up. What, do you expect me to wake up or something? You expect me to survive on 1/2 cup of coffee? You think I'm going to just come out of bed without anything, come out cold? You think that's just going to help me? I'm going to be fine? You think that's going to do something for me?